Our hymn after the lesson this morning will be number 944. 944. What shall it be?
Thank you, Ralph. Ralph said he had three or four more songs. I wonder if he's going to lead them now. But I appreciate him, and especially the spiritual move he tries to get us into, especially through our singing to God. If you haven't heard, Monday evening, Caitlin Gamp was baptized here at the building. Caitlin, are you still with us this morning? Which, if you are, would you please stand up? I see a hand. She's right back here, beside Dolores Gamp. Congratulations. Thank you. You know, Caitlin was baptized Monday. We normally offer invitation after our services on Sunday, and we will do it again this morning. You can be baptized anytime. Doesn't make any difference, and she chose that, and that's very fine. But this is the conclusion of service, that we will offer invitation for ones that want to respond at that time, but if that's not convenient or you make up your mind at a different time, speak up and talk to some Christians and see if you can be baptized, and they will help you be baptized. Don't hesitate when you get ready. You know, as been announced in our bulletin, there was going to be a services for veterans, because this coming Wednesday, our country recognizes or set aside this particular day as Veterans Day. Now, this changed over the years and everything, and it started out as an Armistice Day for the veterans from World War I, as far as I can tell, for that particular date anyway. But now we call it Veterans Day, and this is our government has dedicated this day for that time. It's the time to remember and honor the many people who have served in this country's military. You know, you go back in our American history, and we've had military people off and on from Revolutionary Day wars all up to present day. As many people have served and continue to serve, some for different reasons. But, you know, some people ask to join the military. You know, they go and see the recruiter. Normally says, hey, can I get in? And they've got their choice of branch of service they may want to be in, and they ask. And, well, do you meet the qualifications? They go through, and their schooling and their background, they see, are you physically fit and things like this. Then you got other people where the recruiter went out to the schools and places like this trying to recruit, and they come around asking you to join. A little different. And then in the time of need for this country, others were told to join. So there's really three different categories, and I guess for the majority of veterans that we think about were told to join in one way or another. But there's a time of need for our country to protect itself for the conflicts they're involved in. But it doesn't seem to matter a whole lot. During the course of time, as a person is in the military, they've come to the point to accept the responsibility they've been given or chosen. They think in terms of, well, I've got to give up all of this, my life here back home, and maybe my job, maybe my family, maybe even married with children. It varies a lot, but they have to come to the conclusion of, hey, I'm dedicating this amount of time for my country so that I can have all these things. This is what veterans really come to the conclusion. Sometimes it becomes more so than that is what a veteran has to commit to and think about. Due to the responsibilities they're given, the positions they're put into, it becomes very traumatic sometimes for some of them. Very dangerous, too. And a lot of the jobs can be dangerous, whether it's in a military conflict or not. Some of the machinery they operate and help take care of is dangerous also, just to practice to learn how to do it. You know, we have much armament and things like this, but become... our military becomes proficient at it. They're trained. After their training, if they haven't done it for a while, they go back and get additional training or renewed training. So we try to be prepared all the time as far as the military. When you're in the military, all of a sudden, the time, that's 24 hours a day, is not your own. They put you where they want you, not where you want to be. They don't even ask you most often. They just tell you, here's where you're going, here's your orders, go. They provide transportation, meals, food, whatever for you. You're theirs. As far as the military is concerned, you belong to them. And oddly enough, most everyone tries to do the best job they can, though they may not be enthused about it. This happens quite often. But nevertheless, you know, at the end of their enlistment, or when they are no longer needed, well, they can choose to stay in service. Maybe. You know, it's always interesting. Sometimes I stop at the airport restaurant, and on the tables over there, there's a lot of old newspapers, and a lot of them are about the World War II time periods. And most of them are about the end of the World War II. At the end of World War II, especially with Japan, everything that this country geared up for, whether they were veterans in the military or the people working back home to supply the military, you know, the steel mill here was very famous for that. The shoe factories and things like this was supplying stuff for the military. And even the farmers were supplying the food for them. But nevertheless, everything stopped of what they was doing for the military, as we call it, machine, to keep it going. It all stopped like overnight. The factories shut down and everything, building aircraft. Just amazing. So all of a sudden our life come back to what we used to be. There's one group of people that in the military choose to stay in longer. You know, you say, okay, I was drafted was the term. I went in and done my time. They don't need me now. They release me, whether I fulfill my years of obligation or the conflict's over with. I'm out. Some choose to stay and to keep the military together. So when we need it again, if we do, and it's proven we've needed quite often, we've got people trained and understand what's going on to train the new ones coming in. So we keep this going as far as the military fashion. It's sort of interesting, just watch how it goes. It takes experienced people to train people to do the job. And that's what a veteran really is. And it's more than just the person that spent time in the military as a veteran, because there are military veterans. But you got people around here that better everything else. This congregation I know has a tremendous number of veteran school teachers, veteran farmers. And I've noticed now in healthcare that a lot of nurses and people like this in this congregation, they're veterans of that field. They know what they're doing. They know what it's about. They approve it. You know, there's veterans in many things. You know, it's just our career, different jobs. I work building trades, sheet metal worker. I'm a veteran of that. I'm married. I'm a veteran of a marriage. You don't think about that, but you stayed the course. I've learned what it takes to stay the course. In the family, learn what it is to be a father, a veteran father. Never heard of that one before. But nevertheless, that's what it really is. But then what I want to get to is Christians. A veteran Christian. You know, just like the military, we rely on the people that stay in the military to keep us prepared. As far as Christians, we've been blessed to be able to rely on veteran Christians of years, generations, centuries ago. There's veterans. They're important. They keep us trained, they keep us aware, and keep us going. And it's like being a veteran Christian. It's like being a veteran in the military. The time is really not your own. We tend to think, well, I can do what I want to. Well, yeah, that's true. But if you want to be a veteran something, when you go to work for someone, that time that you spend working for them, It's not your own, because you're working for them. You're doing their job. And if we're working for someone else, if we're in the military, or we're working for God, the time's not our own. And this is what makes us come together as to say, hey, they've stayed the course, they're veterans. So I guess you see where I'm going with this being a veteran Christian. You know, I'm sort of turning it around. This is a believer in God and one who accepts God's orders. And one who accepts God's Son, Jesus. That makes us veteran Christians. We follow this. And the Bible is full of God's veterans. You know, it's just tremendous, the number of them. And just a few of them I picked out, and one of the early ones I can refer to, is in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9. And these are just some short parts of it. It says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah is the guy that built the big boat, ship, ark, floating platform, whatever you want to call it, but, you know, God chose him. There must have been a reason for that. We thought, well, it says Noah was a righteous man. And he walked with God. God chose him. Was Noah better? How long did it take him to build the ark? You remember? Was it like 100 years? Man, that was a long time. Did that make him a veteran boat builder? Well, there's more. He done what God wanted. He done exactly the things that God wanted, the way he wanted done. And in chapter 6, again, in verse 22, and it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Man, that's great. You know, in the military, you need to do everything that the person over you basically commands you to do. So it works. For God's plan to work, you've got to follow what God tells you to do. And Noah did exactly that. And then another person that, one of the earlier veterans is Abram, which later became Abraham. This is in Genesis, the 12th chapter. And in verse 17, and I may have the wrong scripture, but nevertheless, the one I wanted to pick out was, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord. Abram recognized God and who he was. He had been following him along, and he would be considered a veteran. He'd been doing it for years because God found him acceptable as a veteran. He stayed true to the course, and he continued to. And if you really follow Abraham's story a little bit, you realize how much God blessed him and gave him and the riches he had, but then also the responsibilities he received too at the same time. It doesn't go without the responsibilities. And over in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verses 11 and 12. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Can you imagine a person in our military saying, hey, why are you sending me out here for? You know, I don't want to do that job. No. God chose the people he knew could do the job. Military chooses the people they feel that can do the job and needs to be done at the time. It says, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God says, hey, don't worry, Moses. I'm with you all the way. Stick with me and I'll stick with you. So don't worry. So nevertheless, as we know more about Moses, it also talks about him to come back and worship God. And God says where to do it. Moses then what God said. You know, Moses was given the Ten Commandments. God trusted him. Now, we realize Moses come down off the mountain and was mad, angry with the people for what they were doing, the sinning they were doing. He physically broke the stone tablets that God had written on. Moses went back, and then he had a hand tool him himself. You know, yeah, Moses, you messed up. Now you do the labor. I done made it easy for you. But nevertheless, as you follow the account of Moses and how God used him, so many things happened with him and the people he led for years. Problems were up and down. Moses was another veteran. But then we continue on and reading, especially the Old Testament. There's times in there where the people forgot God, didn't even know who he was, didn't worship him. You know, Ark of the Covenant's gone. You know, they were supposed to be priests, but they were just doing their own thing, a lot of them. But then finally they come back around. And they found some old writings, and they started reading. Here's what they said. They said, well, we need to do that again. What happened was all the veterans were gone. There was a time period there that the veterans don't seem to be there. The veterans are important to keep the movement going. And this is what happened. So people did forget God, but they've come back to him. And then the history goes on. There's just so many people in the Old Testament that was very good veterans, very faithful to God all the time. And, you know, you talk about the prophets, and there's a lot of other people. And you quite often have your own favorites. But nevertheless, the coming of Jesus, our Christ, opened the door for everybody. You know, it's changed a lot. Because before, we just had chosen people that were descendants of Abraham because of the promise he made to him. They were the ones that were supposed to be following God and wouldn't always do it. Nevertheless, he sent Christ here and the door's all open. You know, the next thing I think about that is so important to us and makes it so much easier for us is no matter what our bloodline is or our ancestry or anything, it makes no difference as far as God is concerned. I thought, okay. The next thing come along, and we have the Bible. You had Old Testament writings in small numbers, different parts of it. And then you actually had New Testament writings and letters and stuff, and they were still in small numbers, handwritten. And I'm thinking, well, the Bible was great. It's got all put together. But, you know, one of the things I think about is the printing press. You know, I thought, boy, the advent of the printing press. Everybody now has this information. This congregation here supports a work that a congregation in Detroit area has about sending Bibles to China, and we've done this. We've been involved with Bible correspondence courses. We've sent Bibles elsewhere. Matter of fact, there's a letter on the bulletin board now from a congregation in Michigan about sending the Bibles to China. So these people can read what. So now we have this opportunity. And it's because we got these people that are still trying to get the word out to us. And as we become veterans ourselves, and this is what it's all about. You know, the scripture reading this morning was Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th through 17th verse. And as you read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you're done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, you've broken down the way different pieces of armor they were using at the time was representing how God was protecting us and how we can be protected. But really, there's so many, in the New Testament, so many veterans about Christianity. The ones that have gone on, we talk about the apostles, but not just apostles, the many different teachers. The whole point that I would like to make today is if you're not a veteran of Christ, God's son, and you don't accept God as your God, I would like to see all of us be veterans here of God. Not hard. A lot of the time won't be your own. But there's a reward for all of this, and that's Jesus would be the one that goes to God and say, hey, he's acceptable. Let him into heaven. So it's just like it. Caitlin has done this past week. She has taken on the responsibility to become a Christian, a follower of God, an acceptance of Christ. And she's willing to take that responsibility and put on her old form of God. So at this time, we'll offer an invitation for any of you that would like to come. We will be here this morning or this evening. If you want to say something as far as accepting God, and we can help you become baptized into Christ, or for some sins you want to confess that you want the congregation to be aware of and ask for forgiveness of. And if you don't come this morning, keep considering it and come a different time. It's time to stand and sing.